information shall be rectified immediately upon chat.
Yes.
I heard a good quip today. I think it was today or yesterday. If you want a question answered online, it's better to answer it yourself wrong and then wait for all the people correcting you than just ask the question, because you're more likely to get the correct answer faster by people correcting you.
I mean, that's what we did in World of Warcraft. Like,
Are we right off the bat a WoW reference?
You're right off the bat. We're going for it. You know, I have been light on the WoW references like the past three.
You guys are going to freaking blow my mind. Like, the next sentence, you know, Tefty's going to talk about network issues.
Drop some net code. Just drop some net code in your face. Be like, look at this laggy registration on these bullets.
How's Thorne doing?
Oh my God, net code.
How's Thorne doing? Is Thorne still in a good spot? Yeah. Can we talk about
Briar and I can jump into a quick argument real quick. You know, what do you
like? All
right.
I like it.
All right. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Then we just wrap this podcast up. We're done.
Nice. Yeah. There's a problem with firebolts. They are not instantly killing. Uh-oh. So that needs to be looked into.
Yeah. Briar hasn't talked about, you know, getting
hashtag
the
bring
hammer
back
titans.
The hammers.
Oh, we got the hammers in there.
Yep. I hear Pope has really good RNG as well. He probably got at least 12 new god roll weapons of various minimum archetypes.
Yeah,
yep. You know,
you've got the Bellagio buffet of RNG drops in your plate.
I honestly believe that it's coming to you, man. That it's my RNG is sliding right up there to you.
Wait, to who? Can I catch some of that?
Oh, the Briar.
For real, though, hello and welcome to the 67th Planet Destiny podcast, sponsored by Blue Microphones and Headphones. At the end of this podcast, if you're watching live on Twitch, we got a giveaway for you for a Blue Yeti microphone.
Anybody got like a Yeti sound that they can make?
Wait, that's not a Yeti.
Nailed it.
What do you guys think of Prison of Elders now that you've had like a week or so to play it?
I like it more now than I did last week.
Oh, Beagle.
Is that right, Beagle?
There's a Beagle.
Tell us more about Prison Elders.
Really, Beagle?
Dog.
All the drops?
Oh, Beagles.
Amazing. Wow. Can I get your PSN, Beagle?
Well, he just goes for a little bit. He's done.
He just goes for a bit and he's done. Takes a nap.
You can't nerf Beagles. They're like the Titan hammers pre-nerf, you know? You can't stop.
No, you know what they are? They're like Sun Singers before and after April update.
So no change.
No change. They actually got stronger. All right.
So
Prison of Elders.
Prison of Elders. I definitely like it this week a lot more than last week. The first week, when you go in with like primary weapon burn, like everything dies in a headshot. It's like, this is really easy.
It felt very much standard Destiny, right? It's how you would play Destiny anyway, except you're even more powerful than you normally are.
Yeah.
This week, you go in there with a Warlock,
and you
get to have a fucking blast.
Oh my God, the nothing man uncles.
I had a ton of fun. Like, I was going to say that what you guys said, that Prison of Elders for me for the first time was I was laughing and jumping around like an idiot and just having a great time. It was just pure fun. Awesome.
I was just giggling the entire time. I think I did it on stream. I was like, you get a grenade, you get a grenade, and you get just grenades for days as a warlock. Great.
It reminds me of the times when like there'd be a certain build that somebody would figure out on Borderlands 2 that would instantly reset all of your cooldowns for everything, and like you just send out novas and just all kinds of like stuff's happening because of a particular weapon combination. It reminds me of that happening in this, and it's the first time really I think that I've experienced it because of those modifiers. Well, there's been a couple times in the Nightfalls, but this one to an extreme case where you're just chucking those nothing manacle nades and immediately getting another one if you get a kill. It's just like boom, 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 and you find yourself running up and just scattering nades, boom.
Well, and
so
you
fun.
Could and you could do that build where you you could, depending on your armor, you could get more grenade energy from melees,
right? Yeah. So every once in a while, if you did happen to run out of nades, like you're like, why isn't my button working anymore, Then you just melee somebody and you're back. You're back to nade after nade.
Back in business.
I think I was getting a nade every 4 seconds. And I was, you know, with the nothing manacles and you're getting double grenades, you know, you're just sitting there going every four seconds.
Yeah.
As long as you were getting a kill, you just like immediately had another one. Just boom.
And there's so many mobs around that it's easy to get a kill.
Yeah. Right?
The only time you'd slow down is when you like cleared all the adds out. And you just had to focus on the big boy.
I have
boy.
To shoot my actual gun now? This isn't what I want to do.
Lame. Where are
shoot
the
boss?
Yeah, that's where you get a... Hopefully you have a one warlock with Song of Flame. Because let me tell you, Song of Flame now is good. It's really good. You guys should definitely try it out for PvE. You can group up and then... More grenades for days. Just it's almost an instantaneous recharge for your team, especially with like max discipline and catapult going in, as the modifier on Prison of Elders. I saw a couple of videos of people nuking down the like the second boss in there with Song of Flame and fusion grenades.
You know, I know you got to work as a team to get the score, but there's a little bit of that, like, you know, inter-team sort of challenging who's going to get the higher score. And, you know, a couple times one of my teammates would die and I would just take a little while longer to get over there to revive him.
Take the long way around.
You know, like, there's too many enemies. I can't get over here.
Maybe take a left at Fifth Avenue instead of going straight up the turnpike.
I see your body right there, but there's a bunch of enemies over here and I got to hit them with these grenades.
I'm going to throw like 18 grenades before I get over to you, man. Sorry.
It's the only safe way to get you, I mean, right?
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's a fun week to be in Prison of Elders. I definitely want to do it some more. I only started doing it today, so like my virginal experience this week was today, and it was just a blast. I started with a Titan, moved over to my Voidwalker, have no interest in doing it on my Hunter. Like, it is... Yeah, it's super fun, man.
What do you guys think another like modifier would be that's similar to the grenade modifier that would make it fun? Like,
we actually someone's card glitched out and through like the mobile app, and we saw I think a couple more of the modifiers that were on it. I the only one that I remember off the top of my head is melee.
Yeah, super, like melee. I think too.
Yeah, and super melee and super. Yeah, you have to get kills with your super. So
yeah, so that Voidwalker's going to come back with the Nova Bomb and the helmet that continually gives you more Nova Bombs.
Right?
Beagle!
Real time! The Obsidian Mind is going to be very useful.
Yes. Yeah.
For that, yeah. Also, you know, once again, Sunsinger. You shoot anything and you get, you know, super kills, essentially. So that's going to be a lot of fun. It felt like this week, it felt like a regular heroic strike. So, yeah, the fun level's definitely maxed out. But in terms of difficulty from last week to this week, it was like it went from super easy to now feeling like a heroic strike. And the time to take is about a heroic strike length. Like a triple kill lands you like 600, 700, 800 points. So easy.
You can effectively just not really care about it. On the earlier rounds, don't go to time. Just kill, like, get a couple
just
points. Get through the last round is where you really want to like farm points, because the modifier percent gets raised a ton there.
That's kind of my biggest problem with it, really, is that the first two rounds really don't feel like it's worth doing. Like, you just kind of want to get through it, and the last round's really where you get all your points. It's nice to have the change. It's nice that it's not like hardcore, like I got to raid and concentrate super hard. It almost feels like going back to Vault of Glass or something, where you really don't have to concentrate that hard. You can just kind of get it done, you know? And, like, I don't know, for a streamer, it's easy because you can play and you can kind of focus on chat at the same time. It's not like you don't have to be in super focus, like, kill Oryx mode. It's a nice, like, relaxing thing that you can do, and it's fun, and you're laughing your ass off because you're throwing nades like crazy.
Just chucking them. So good.
And I think also the modifiers themselves plus that the way that the bosses also interact with us too is going to change, right? So that's going to be really interesting.
Yeah. Plus, there's new there's going to be different bosses every week too. I think we've seen what five bosses in the actual challenge. In the actual challenge mode, if you go run the level 41 version, you will eventually see all the bosses as well. I really, really like the second boss, Valis Arun. In year one Prison of Elders, he was really aggravating to fight. Not because for me it was aggravating, because he could have been really interesting. He had this shield that would change, you know, or that would change damage type. And it's like, okay, so we need to you know, make sure we have a balanced loadout so we can get the shield down. No, Galahorn just says, "Fuck you, I don't care about the shield." yeah, and this time around, he has an immunity shield, and there's three scions that have a very specific type of shield on him as well. And you have to kill those scion, or you have to kill the specific scion to, you know, make it so you can damage him for a period of time. That's a very good change for that fight.
Yeah, it's way smarter. Because like year one, you literally sat in a corner and rocketed him, and just fought off phalanxes coming up and trying to hit you. This year, or with this change, you just like you said, you really use the whole room, and you have to hunt, and you also have to coordinate with your team to be like, okay, he's just about dead, or the scion's just about dead, get ready to do damage, you know, and then start calling out where the next one is. It's great.
All right, so...
it's impossible. Not working. Outside of Challenge of Elders, what else has been kind of newish this week?
Loot, baby! And it rains like rain from the sky, like beautiful. I don't even know what is plentiful and wonderful. Other things that are like that. It's awesome. You're getting stuff from Vanguard, and you're getting stuff from Nightfalls, and you're getting stuff from the Raid. Holy shit, you're getting stuff from the Raid.
The Raid is dropping it's loot.
Insane, yeah.
Oh my
right
God.
Now.
You get
so much stuff. If you do the Raid three times, man, you're gonna level up your characters very quickly.
It's amazing. I think there was one time a boss dropped two items, and I was like, two items? I was already trained to expect a shower of loot. It's amazing.
Yeah, we brought one guy in at 303, and by the time he left the raid, he was like 320.
Nice.
He leveled up fast.
Is this how you live every day, Pope?
Yeah, I mean, to me, that's why I was not commenting on the April update as being anything spectacular, because it just...
Another day of the races.
I'm like this is average. This is, I mean, great. Everybody else is
What do you mean the drops changed?
I got to decide which god roll of my 1,000 yards to delete, because I don't have any more room.
It does remind me of Etheric Light a little bit, where at first you started getting Etheric Light, and like you're like, oh man, which gun am I gonna upgrade first? You know, is it gonna be Fatebringer? Is it gonna be Hawkmoon? Like, what's it gonna be? What's it gonna be? And that's how I feel right now, because I start getting these like 335 primary drops. I'm like, oh, which one's it gonna be? Which one's it gonna be? But I can see by the end of like next week, the week after, it's gonna be like, just throw it at whatever.
I'm already deleting like item level 330 stuff.
Oh my god!
Inventory, because. All faction packages, once you get above light level 330, it drops. The faction packages cap out at 330. Oh, another 330 chess piece. Every chess piece I own is now at 330 already. I'll keep two, put them in the bank, and then just start nuking them. Whatever.
Yep.
You can kind of wait for that like perfect roll chess piece, right? You can wait for that and then just be ready to go. Boom. Hit it.
Yeah. So the real, 335 was just like the first step in this update. The real update is getting the best rolls on stuff now.
And honestly, it should be like that is the best end game of like loot based games, is trying to get enough drops to craft your perfect setup. You know, and that's what it's going to. I got a 335 helmet off of the Darkblade. Very happy about that. Dropped 335. I was like, sick.
Right now, it is possible to get like tier 5 stat in one thing, tier 5 stat in another thing, and then tier 2 in another. So a 5-5-2 stat split, which is really, really profitable. It's kind of good. Good news, though, guys. Good news. I got the Zen Meteor.
Oh, snap.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I saw a video or two up on the internets with a pretty happy celebration.
For the backstory, for those of you that didn't tune into the my trial stream that I do with Miss 5000 Watts and Ian every Friday. We play for about 6 hours, 5 to 6 hours, and we go flawless in all three characters, go to the lighthouse, like, and then just kind of answer questions with chat, just kind of have a fun time every Friday, right, pretty much right when Trials goes live. The Trials map was Black Shield this week, and with the combination of, like, the new meta, just
best
trying to, like,
ever.
Yeah, trying to get your feet, it took us 6 hours to get to the lighthouse, like, trying multiple characters, just not enjoying our time there, and largely in part due to that, due to the map. I really hate that map, due to the doors, and I've gone, like, that's one of the things I should never talk about on the podcast again, because I've gone over it so many times, but at the end, 6 hours, finally get to the lighthouse, and, like, I got Zen Meteor, and that I needed to get it right then, or else I was going to have to use someone else's account for the better part of the weekend to do the Zen Meteor review, which is why I was so enthusiastic about it, because I don't want to take someone else's account away from them for, like, 2 to 3 days just to figure everything out about this weapon.
Awesome, man. That's sick. What's your quick review?
Quick review, quick synopsis, of Zen Meteor. It's a good all-round rifle. Like, it's damage. It's single-target damage. It's fantastic. The explosive round thing does the equivalent of 3 shots. So everyone's like, oh, you're wasting ammo. Instead of just, you know, like, it'd be better if you just put 3 rounds into the boss. Yes and no. Like, it's better if you don't think you'll get the bonus round. But if you know you'll get the bonus round from killing 3 things... each round has to kill something, then, yeah, why wouldn't you? It cleans up some of the room a little bit, or cleans up some of the area a little bit more. You know, you don't have your stuff hitting you, and then you can just crit the thing for just a little bit more than three shots.
So, how is it DPS-wise? Because, like, if you compare it to the Black Spindle, how's it do DPS-wise?
It doesn't even compete with Black All Spindle right. in any... Yeah, like
Really? It's, so it's, the, getting the 3-shot... 3-in-1 bonus doesn't make up for the reload speed?
No.
How about against the ogres in the raid? I was kind of thinking that might be perfect, because can you kill them
I didn't try it out. Well, the thing is, each round has to kill something with Zen Meteor.
Oh, so it can't just land.
It's not Black Spindle. If it was Black Spindle, where, like, you get, if you land 3 shots or land 3 crits, then you get a bonus thing. Then we'd have a really interesting weapon. But yeah, it has no one single defined use like Black Spindle. Mm-hmm. Except it gets sick no scopes. It has 80 base aim assist. So, that's basically the highest right now. I know I'm getting better at landing those stupid, you know, trick shots, but I think this weapon, like, there's something wrong with this gun if I'm able to do it this consistently. So I'm thinking, based on what I've been reading around, a lot of other people have been like, hey, something, like, I'm landing a lot more in-air type stuff as of recent. I think
it has a hipfire?
No,
Hipfire Icarus type of thing going on?
Well, maybe, I don't know. Something about the weapon feels weird. Maybe they changed, like, the values of hipfire from a sniper rifle.
Is it worth the exotic slot in PvP?
It spawns with 12 sniper ammo rounds. Or it spawns with 12 rounds due to Field Scout.
Wow. So this thing's going to be all over the place.
Yeah.
That's good. When I ask you, where is this thing good for? That's the answer you should give me.
Yeah, it has
Hawksaw and Zen Meteor.
You know, I only recently finally got a sniper rifle that has Hidden Hand on it, and it is incredible the difference it makes. Like, it is so much easier to snipe when you have Hidden Hand on a high aim assist sniper.
Drag
they
scoping.
Definitely need to. Yeah, they definitely need to.
Well, I think it helps the most with if you're a drag scoper, you feel that where that stick is, right, and you pull the trigger. With a Hidden Hand, I feel like you have more latitude for that stick and when to shoot it, and you get a lot of, like, these drag scope headshots that are crazy. I'm just thinking about all those Xbox players out there right now that are thinking, damn it, Hawkmoon all over again.
Yeah, it's just one gun, and there's so many fun guns that are coming out right now. I'm getting weapons, like, my Soul Stealer's Claw is, like, my new favorite primary right now. This is a weapon that you get from Varix. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's basically a
Doctrine.
A Doctrine of Passing, but it's got more ammo. It's actually got better range, but the stability is a little bit lower.
A lot better range. Like, yeah, the range is pretty significant.
It is pretty significant. I am enjoying this gun because it's got so much more ammo. I'm enjoying this gun a lot more for PvE. In PvP, I could take down two or three enemies without reloading. You know, like, it's a very good gun. I'm enjoying it quite a bit. And I don't even have a perfect roll on it. I have one stability perk when there's, like, an opportunity to get three. Even though that they got nerfed a little bit, they still kill quickly.
It's still very good. On Black Shield, we're having a lot of difficulty with just teams of three Doctrines. And Mito, when it didn't have high caliber rounds anymore, could not compete because of Doctrine performs at such a good range.
There's a new version of the Six Dreg Pride that's very good too. I can't remember what that one's called. Is it like Soul Stealer Pride or something like that? The Six Dreg Pride is the hand cannon that looks like, and there's a new version of that that's very good as well. I haven't gotten it, but I keep hearing people tell me that it's really good.
I got the I got the Queen's hand cannon, and I got two or three. One, yeah, Her Mercy, and it didn't get any good rolls on it, so I'm waiting to try it out.
It's all about rolls, especially on hand cannons.
I think I got average rolls on my. Oh no, wait, I think I got I can't remember exactly what it was, but I tried it out, and it felt good. It felt decent. Like, shots were registering with it. I wanted to use more of it. I was rotating between Mida, Her Mercy, and the Doctrine.
So we were talking about Hawkmoon just a little bit before that. Have you guys used Hawkmoon at all?
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. It's an enjoyable gun for PvP and in PvE again. Like, it's not the god gun it used to be, but it's very, very
good. It is now consistent. It is now consistent, which is... Yep, you don't feel like your shots are getting, you know, phantomed anymore, which is... That's how all hand cannons should
be. That's true if you don't rapid fire as fast as it can go. You have to take it just a half a second to aim.
Patience.
Like, just let the gun settle and get, is what you got to do.
If you're patient with the timing of it and you get headshots, it's decimates.
That's what I experienced, because I tried it out a couple games and I was like, not feeling this. But I'm really used to the Mida right now, which is all about rapid fire. So it was throwing my game off on it. So I need to reapproach it with that more patient shot approach.
Shoot it like one of the slow rate of fire scouts, where you can't rapid fire one of those. You really have to wait for everything to come to rest. Fire it like that, and you should enjoy it.
Yeah.
So what muzzle are you guys using on it? The reason I ask is it's basically a toss up right now between which ones to use. I thought, according to a lot of the things that I've been reading, Field Choke didn't reduce aim assist. It was like a zero value. And then both Aggressive and Accurize did reduce aim assist. So I was like, well, there's a post on Crucible Playbook just today. Common misconceptions about Field Choke over Accurize Ballistic. Field Choke does decrease aim assist. So apparently, no matter what you choose, it's going to decrease aim assist on it. And the reason I'm focusing so much on aim assist is, you know, hand cannons are marvelously inconsistent at times. So I feel like you should try to not nerf the stat that can help you out. But there's a nice big post by B. Sider on Crucible Playbook going over all the aim assist values of muzzles. And
for me, using that gun in the Crucible anyway is all about just making sure I'm hitting headshots. Like, if I'm hitting headshots, the time to kill on that gun is getting the job done, because the chance of hitting luck in the chamber is so high with three of those things in the mag that, you know, you're going to get so many two-shot kills. But if I'm just trying to rapid fire it, like if I'm like the way I used to use Thorn, where I would just like basically spam the trigger and just you know, fire in the body shots. Area of somebody, because yeah, all you had to do was body shots. It's not, you can't use the gun like that.
It'll penalize you.
Or I can't, not with any success. Yeah, I can't with any success because I just missed too many shots.
What I try to do is line up my first shot, like maybe as I'm taking a little bit of damage, or I line it up like a sniper rifle as there someone's coming around a corner. I try to pop the first one as a head shot, and then I can almost, then I'm a little bit more flexible with the bodies, and I can spam the trigger a little bit more and increase the time to kill.
And because it's a hand cannon, if I feel like I'm about to lose a gunfight, I get up in the air and try to make myself a really hard target
to hit and just rain destruction down.
Yeah,
they're still pretty accurate. Even for like aggressive pushing with a hand cannon, basically play it like you used to play a shotgun, just charge at someone, and then while you're in the air, closing the gap between them, just, you know, ping them in the head a bunch because they can't look up that quick.
With Hawkmoon especially, is you got to wait to reacquire that target and then fire again. And then if you do that, you'll be accurate. If you don't do that, that cone is in full effect, and you start losing bullets.
I definitely need to try that. Because, again, I feel like the past few months just mostly using my multi-tool has made my trigger finger very fast. Yeah.
Yeah, you got to give the weapon the time that it deserves between shots, and it works. It works.
Has anybody checked out Noblesse? I think that's what it's called. Like,
yeah, we talked about it last week.
Her Noblesse or whatever?
There's a Noblesse.
I just got a really good roll on one, so I'm looking forward to checking it out.
Nice.
So we got some pretty interesting news about the Iron Banner today. We're getting the Iron Banner next week. I think that's something that actually Tefty called like 6 months ago.
Did I?
I think so. I mean, if you didn't, it's pretty damn close to what you were saying. But we're getting Iron Banner coming back April 26th, 10 a.m. Pacific. There's a really interesting note before they went into all the changes that we're getting about something they fixed, and I'm going to read it verbatim.
And I'm a little bit upset about this, just so you know, Briar. A little upset.
Yeah, because, yeah, I'm sure you are. Okay. We did some digging and uncovered a reward logic issue that blocked some of your rewards prior to rank 5 in Iron Banner, or all of them in my case. That issue was resolved in the April update. So there was a bug, basically, that was blocking us from getting our rewards.
Loot table bug. I do remember talking about this 6 months ago, saying something in the logic is getting stuck at somewhere in the ladder, saying cannot process further below this ladder.
Yeah. So that's awesome. I mean, we're going to go through the changes. Do you want me to just read through the changes real quick?
Yes, please.
All right.
Yeah.
Lord Saladin's inventory has been updated with items at rank 3 through 5 with some rerolled perks. So we'll still see the same basic guns, but they're going to have rerolls. Yeah. Rank package rewards have been adjusted. Increase rank 3 package artifact to 320. Increase rank 5 package ghost to 320. Rank 5 packages can now reward items from the current event. Iron Banner armor and weapons can now be earned at rank 0 at the end of activity. So you start earning stuff right away.
Awesome.
Yeah. Removed legendary engrams from possible end of activity rewards list, creating a greater chance to receive Iron Banner specific items. Iron Domination daily bounty now requires... There's actually like two bounties that got easier to do. I'm going to skip those. Fixed an issue where players below rank 5 could roll a reward they were ineligible for, resulting in no reward being given. Fixed an issue where the Iron Banner ship was missing a part of its frame.
It took a year and 8 months, folks, but we finally got the ship fixed.
I'm rocking that ship again.
I was starting to believe that it was as intended.
Yeah, it's like this... We're just going to leave a hole in the middle of the ship. It makes it lighter, right? That matters in space travel. Yeah. Someone that knows science, please tell me if that actually works.
So every one of these changes makes loot either drop faster or it's easier to get to the place where loot does drop fast. This is great. Iron Banner
should
be
fun. What's the chance that upon digging through the code... and fixing something, they unveiled or they've unearthed another bug that's going to rear its head in the loot system?
I hope it's a bug that just like shit comes raining down Like, it's like your,
maybe we're experiencing that right now.
Instantly fills up after every Iron Banner match.
Maybe we're experiencing that bug right now, and that's why all the drops are raining. And they're like, "This is not intended." Oh my god! Man.
Yeah, the chances are something will get messed up somewhere.
There's a high chance.
Like, I mean, it's like a given. It's going to probably happen. Hopefully, it's not related to loot drops or anything completely game critical. Maybe it makes like one particular hunter cloak really spazzy, and we can enjoy that.
That'd be great. Or if it accidentally sends you 100 sterling treasures. In my post. Oh my god. I guess I better
open them quick. Quick. Before they take them back.
Quick before they ban my account. Oh wait, no, this isn't massive. Never mind.
Oh. Wow.
Oh my god.
Throwing the shade already.
We're also getting the auto rifle, the rocket launcher, leg armor, and class items. I think we haven't seen class items since the first week of Iron Banner. Like, it's been a long time since we've seen class items. A lot of people have been asking for them.
I mean, I don't use it because I'm never taking off my, you know, Dead Zone Revolution cloak, but some people out there...
I stopped using it, too, because I wanted to take as long as I could to level up.
Yep,
because
same.
The drops were so fucking bad
that
I needed to play as many matches as I could before I hit level 5 and got kind of priced out of the items I wanted to drop.
It was as if there was a bug in the system.
It was as if.
What you can go for weapon-wise is the auto rifle, Hakon's Hatchet, and the rocket launcher. Don't know the name, don't remember it, because it's a rocket launcher. And then we got, boots?
Rockets
cloak,
in year two or something.
Yeah, boots and class item. Class items.
Did you guys see that they put up high scores for the Elder?
Yes.
Challenge of Elders? I thought that was pretty cool for Bungie to put that up on the site. I wonder if they're going to do that weekly or if they'll have a special scoreboard for it. Was anybody surprised to see who was on top of it?
Not at all.
No.
Not one bit.
Nobody.
SC Slayer Ages team.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
79,000 points.
That's a big score.
The second closest was 63,000.
And that's it. That was basically all that was in there. Kind of a slow week for the weekly update. This is actually going to come up in a Twitter question. I'm going to steal this guy's question. I'm sorry for stealing your question. But, you know, something we didn't really mention last week is that Deej very noticeably used the word update. You know, he's looking at the update that's coming out later this year. Was that concerning to anybody else?
Did you say the fall update?
Yeah.
Update.
I didn't notice that, and now I am concerned.
Talk amongst yourselves.
Topic, war in the Middle East. It's neither the war nor the Middle East. Discuss.
It's at some point. In fact, after this topic, we should discuss the future of Destiny 2 and what the PlayStation Neo may bring to it.
Okay.
The rumor mill has been hard at it, and apparently some of this information is getting somewhat solidified that Sony has, in fact, made plans and specifications for an upgraded PS4. Then it's codenamed Neo. Interestingly, Morpheus is the VR system. So Neo and Morpheus type of thing, combo, that they're going on here. It's going to have like 2.5 times the power, I think, of the GPU that's in the PS4 right now. And then the same CPU, but more clocking power, or it's overclocked or whatever. This is very interesting because they're also saying that games after October or November of this year, I can't remember the exact date, if this is in the rumor that from a credible source, supposedly, they're saying that after that date, if a game is supporting the Neo, it has to support the PS4 as well. So it's going to be, if you are going to use the Neo hardware, you have to also support the normal PS4 as well, in addition. So they're not going to create like a segregated population or anything like that. People on the Neo can still chat with people on the PS4 and playing games, and vice versa. So it's not going to split the community up or anything like that. I think it's very fascinating. And I think the timeline is very fascinating for why we saw Destiny 2, or what we thought Destiny 2 was going to come out in, get pushed potentially into a post-Neo release window. So 60 FPS, Destiny 2. Yes, I might be a little erect.
I think one thing to definitely take away is I don't think people should try to expect 4K.
Definitely not.
No.
Because
maybe a couple of indie games that have like very low res graphics or like nearly no graphics, maybe they'll run at native 4K, but this is going to be 4K.
Yeah.
Maybe if they put an ultra 4K Blu-ray player in there, Netflix, that kind of stuff is going to run at 4K. Games up res to 4K, that's it.
Like two 980 Ti's might barely be able to do Destiny with actual 4K resolution and 4K texture maps at 30 frames per second. They might barely, and that's like $1,200 worth of graphics.
Yeah, it's like $1,200 just on the graphic, on two graphics cards.
Like, that's not possible.
Yeah,
it's 4K is going to be for video. That's it.
Yeah.
For watching movies, watching Netflix, for watching Amazon TV. That's where you'll see 4K. For games, maybe you'll get a slightly enhanced textures. Hopefully you'll get 60 frames per second. The game is going to be playable on the base PlayStation 4 and the PlayStation Neo. It's simply going to be slightly improved graphical quality on the Neo version. And hopefully, I'm hoping you're right, Tefty. I hope this is going to be 60 frames per second. Like, you know,
wouldn't that be amazing?
That'd be awesome. Like, just give me the same game that's running on the base PlayStation 4, but give it to me at 60 frames per second with the same exact graphic quality.
So they can make the PS4 version 720p, so it can still run at 60 FPS, and then the Neo version at 1080p or higher, or whatever, a few more bells and whistles in terms of graphics. That way they can maintain PvP fidelity for 60 frames per second.
That'd be great.
Because that would be a problem.
That's a perfect idea, Tefty. I love it.
Yeah. I mean, we were talking about this in a previous podcast about how PC games have been doing this for years, and now the hardware manufacturers could just say, here's normal, medium, ultra, you know, or the whatever generation, all that, and play the same software.
M. Santos is also bringing up a good point in the chat, is that there is very strong possibility that the reason they're making the Neo is not for regular games that we're playing now, but for VR. The problem with VR is that if you have shitty frame rate in VR, you vomit.
Right? Yeah.
Like, it's not optional. They have to have good frame rates, and this really might be, you know, a push toward, look, the VR helmet's coming out in, you know, October. Let's get a slightly higher quality PlayStation. So if you really want the best VR experience on a home console, we have it right here for you. It's ready to go. Sure, you got to spend a little more money on it, but...
Exactly. Like, if you bought a PlayStation today, don't feel bad. It's okay, because the games will still play on it. You'll still be able to get the gaming experience. It's just people looking for the absolute best experience and not being held back from technology requirements because of having to stick to hardware that is technically like 3 or 4 years old at this point, can now experience some upgrades, which is nice. That's what PC is. That's what PC is.
It does suck, though, if you just bought a PlayStation 4 to find this news is true. That sucks. Like, no doubt about it.
Oh, yeah.
That's a bummer.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, honestly, I have two PS4s right now. I am selling one of them right now because I want to try and get max dollars out of it. I'm just going to go out without one of them and then, you know, save that money for hopefully in October the 4K comes out or the Neo comes out.
Mm-hmm.
What's with Neo and Morpheus? Like, who's got a hard-on for the Matrix over at Sony?
I think it's software developers, man. Software developers love code names, like, for projects.
Every software developer loves the Matrix?
No, I mean, they love, well, that, yes. But they also love code names, you know? Call it, like, some crazy mythological beast until it gets an actual public name, you know?
Yeah.
Another very interesting thing that happened is the end of line of 360, Xbox 360, which means there is absolutely no way a AAA title is going to come out for a game that has, or for a system that is end of line production.
Yeah. That's
so,
great news.
I mean, the 360.
Because so many people have been saying, man, I wish they would drop support for that old system. How many people are going to be saying that who have the Neo? Man, I wish they would drop support for that old base PlayStation 4. Like, there's going to be inter-console wars now.
Inter-console grief?
Oh, my God.
Oh,
the forums are going to be crazy, man. It's going to be dog eating dog and cat eating cat. It's all over.
But, okay, hold up. I want to talk about the resale value thing. I think that actually the resale value of a PS4 is going to hold. I mean, it's going to drop a bit, but it's not going to drop like it's a last-gen console. Because all of the software is going to be relevant still. And
that's true.
Is the selling point, is that you can still play the titles being released today on that piece of hardware.
But if you can get $220 for one now, I dig it.
Buy it up.
I'm going to wait for the PS4 Trinity.
The Trinity. There we go. Yeah. It's like 8K.
Wouldn't it be cool if they took this opportunity to redesign the controller and give us an Elite controller?
That would be nice, but apparently they already kind of confirmed that there's no new controller coming. Or at least that's what the leak... I can't say confirmed. That's what they...
It's just... Yeah, it's a hardware graphics upgrade.
Should we do some Twitter questions?
I suppose we could move to some Twitter
questions. Got anything you want to talk about first, Patrick?
Yeah, I think we could talk about Blue mics. Because you probably noticed these mics and headphones that we're using, and they're just some of the iconic gear that Blue creates. Their award-winning products are the driving force behind professional musicians, internet creators, and countless elite gaming teams and Twitch streamers. Their Yeti USB mic is the internet's most popular microphone, and their MoFi and Lola headphones deliver insane sound and a personalized fit. A very personalized fit.
It's very personalized.
Very nice.
Very good. Very nice. You can go to bluemic.com. I'm pretty sure they actually just redid their website, and it looks really nice from what I remember.
Pope Bear, you had something you wanted to talk about, too, before we did Twitter questions, right?
Yeah. Well, you know how everybody in the chat always is talking about my RNG? They say,
yes.
Pope, I wish I had your RNG. Like, they're always commenting about that. And so now is a very unique opportunity. Next Thursday, after the podcast, we're going to be doing a live stream with a bunch of my friends from the Destiny community. And we are going to be giving away my PlayStation and Xbox accounts.
The RNG is about to get raffled off.
So. It's tied to the accounts, guys. The RNG is tied.
The proceeds... from this will go to charity. There's the Oakland Children's Hospital here in town, and I really want to do something special for them. So make sure that we'll be talking about it throughout the week, and I'll tell you who all is going to be joining me. But I'm going to do one last send-off for the Pope Bear account and, Triple Rec and Bife and you guys and Miss Watts and all these guys are going to be joining me. And so, so it's going to go with all of my stuff. So not only is there's 2,700 hours on my Destiny account. And
that's right. It comes with all the loot.
Yeah.
All of it. Time, all the grimoire. Characters,
everything. It's got a near max grimoire. I think I'm only missing one exotic. What was the exotic there, Patrick, that you got?
Zen Meteor.
Mm-hmm. So it's missing that. It's missing that one. So so it's going to have, it has a lot of stuff on there. Fallout 4, Last of Us Remastered. Right,
plus all the games that you have.
It's got Advanced Warfare.
Your digital library.
Call of Duty. It's got the season pass to the Call of Duty series for Black Ops 3. There is a ton of stuff on there. And we'll be posting up a list on Planet Destiny's site. I'm working with Ryan to write up everything that's on the PlayStation account. And we also have a Xbox account that I've had for 10 years. And I don't know, there's probably 100 games or something on that. And all the Halo series and everything like that.
It's got one level 15 Titan.
It's got one level 15 Titan. I buy all my games digitally.
Little baby Titan.
I buy all my games digitally, so there's a ton of games.
You can bid on Pope Bear, and all that money goes to charity. That's amazing. That is amazing. It's a huge opportunity.
But people in chat are asking what my plans are for my new PlayStation, and that's going to be a secret. I'm not going to tell anybody what my new account is, and we're going to go from there. So I'm not quitting Destiny per se. I'm just going to be taking a step back from my public persona here. So it's a lot of fun. And we're going to get into a whole lot of details next week. We're also going to be introducing, should I say, Patrick? or talk about it?
We can.
I want to do a reveal on that.
But
we're going to do a big reveal.
But we're going to say what we're doing, though, right? So there will be a new member to the podcast starting next week. So we're excited to reveal that person.
It's the only person we could find that has better RNG than Pope. It's Jesus Christ. He's going to be joining us on the podcast.
Ever since Easter, he has risen and joined the podcast.
I'm just going to dress in a nice little robe or something. Come on. And lose about 20 pounds.
He's got all the requirements. He's got the beard. He's got the RNG.
I am really excited who's going to be on the podcast. It's going to... You guys are going to be in good hands, and I'm excited to announce that person because they are the only person that I reached out to replace me. It's going to be a good transition. Good. And so next week we're going to do that, and then we're going to, after the podcast, we'll do a live stream. And at the end of the live stream, we're going to be taking donations, and at the end of the live stream, we'll pull someone's name randomly, and they'll get my account. Anyway, so yeah, we've got a lot to talk about. I know there's a whole lot of questions, but we'll get to that on Planet Destiny. I'll be writing a letter and be listing the accounts and bringing up some of the details for next week. I just want you guys to pay attention to the channel and for next week, because we'll be announcing the raffle and the details behind it. So it's kind of strange because I look back on stuff and, you know, when I started in the Destiny community, I was just a guy like looking forward to the game coming out. And, I thought about who I wanted to play it with. And the only other people that I thought I could really enjoy playing the game with were other dads, that they could understand me. And so I did what any person in my position would do. I started a clan, and I started the Dads of Destiny. And so that's how my introduction to the Destiny community started, and it built up to close to over 50,000 people in that clan, and it really gave me a lot of opportunities. I joined a podcast off of that clan, the Dads of Destiny, called the DoD podcast with my buddies, my real life friends, Hambone, Too Loud, and Null Zero. And that's where I started learning how to do podcasts, and I really fell in love with them. It gave me opportunities to meet Deej and Irk and Mark at Guardian Radio, and I started doing Bungie ride alongs. So we were taking, as a way of giving back to the Bungie employees, we were taking them on raids. These are guys that coded the game, you know, they don't play it all the time. So we would be Sherpas through the raids. And that's where I got to know a lot of the Bungie guys and realized that there were a lot of really good people that work there. And so I then had the opportunity to come over to Planet Destiny, and I can't tell you how much fun this has been with you guys. My first opportunity to stream was with you guys. I learned a lot about how to be a leader in the community with this group. And I got to meet all my friends at Rezo. So Resolute, it was phenomenal. They're really talented, fun-loving, creative people. I really want to thank Claw and Tinx for their support over the years. And there's honestly too many to name. Manigator, Hovey, True Vanguard, Mtash. I mean, Nava Bear. I can't list the number of Rezo, my Rezo family that have been a part of me for a year now. So it's been awesome. I've gotten close relationships with Datto and Triple Rick and Miss 5000 Watts. And I can't even list them all. I mean, Robbie and just Blue West. I could just keep going, man. Like, the opportunities that I've had have been really, really special. But it's been a really good time. And I'll be missing the podcast for sure, and the opportunity that it's given me, and the time that we spent together. So, but I know you guys are in really good hands, and I can't wait to read to hear what people have asked us this week on Twitter.
Well, Boatman, thank you for joining us on the podcast all this time. We're really going to fucking miss you, man. You're always...
I'm legitimately sad about this, I can honestly say. I really am going to miss you. It's been... How many episodes has it been?
It hasn't been 69.
I think I got on at the 9th or 10th episode.
9th episode? Yeah. 9th or 10th episode? You know, the podcast has grown with and because of you, and it's never going to be the same without you. You are the mayor of Destiny.
The lord of RNG.
Right? You'll be missed not just by the host lord and not RNG. Just by the audience of the Planet Destiny podcast, but by the Destiny community.
There's a dynamic that you bring, and it's, you know, change is obviously always weird, but just there's an element that's special that you have and that you bring every week, and it is very sad knowing that's going to be going away.
And I know that I'm sort of sometimes a divisive or, you know, personality in the podcast, and it's what keeps it, I think, what kind of stirs the pot a little bit. And it keeps the conversations interesting. And, you know, what ends up happening is that we all have grown much, much stronger as a community through the efforts that I think that not only us, but everybody in the Destiny community has done to not make each other, like, we're all not against each other. I think this is a very unique gaming community where we all support each other, and we do things together all the time. And it really goes to bring this group together and make it meaningful. But it's been a great ride. And, you know, I've got personal reasons why I'm leaving. And, I'm talking to my friends individually and talking to them, but, I don't want to make this comments today about that. I just want to make it about how much I've enjoyed the people in chat, the community that we have, and this experience. It's changed me, and I really, really appreciate it. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
So, Twitter questions?
The Twitter?
You know what? One dude has the first Twitter question. It's going to be really hard to follow that up.
Yeah.
Dr. Popsicle at Dr. Popsicle, who asks, what would you do if a volcano erupted 5 kilometers from you? Cheers from Iceland.
Run like hell.
Yeah, what would you do? I know what I would do.
Find the closest, most
kiss your ass goodbye.
Find the most beautiful woman near you. Give her the biggest kiss you can, and then go.
I would have preemptively moved.
What the hell are you doing 5 kilometers away from a volcano?
The first thing I'd do is go onto google.com and Google how long 5 kilometers is in relation to miles, because I don't know that system of measurement. After Googling it and seeing that it's 3.12 miles away, or 3.11 miles away, I would then go, oh shit, that's really close, and probably get in a car and drive away. I don't know. Like
Glimmer at Currency Destiny. That's a weird name. Do you think Destiny 2 will be released as an expansion to Destiny 1 at $60 or as a separate game?
Separate game, because it's not going to support last gen.
Yeah, it's got to be a different game.
Yep, different SKU.
Yeah. They've been working on it since Destiny 1 shipped. You know they have to have.
Spyrora at Spyrora. Favorite thing to do in Destiny right now?
Chuck grenades in Challenge of Elders.
POE Chuck grenades.
That's pretty fun, man.
As a manacle-wearing Voidwalker. Ugh.
That is pretty fun. Like, Challenge of Elders killed it this week.
So fun.
I found newfound joy in going on patrol, because you just get so much rep now doing it. Jonah Shetler at Gilgamesh V9. What new kind of enemy unit would you like to see, existing faction or otherwise? I would like to see a grenadier that runs at you screaming, kind of like in Serious Sam.
Borderlands.
Where he's got like bombs and he just comes running at you. Ah! And you can hear him coming. You can hear him coming.
I'd like to see an enemy maybe of a dreg varietal, like of that like kind of trash mob varietal that flies.
So like some sort
of swarming agent that would be they would take the vertical and PvE would take your vertical gameplay and make it take advantage of the big open skyboxes that we have.
Nice.
Hmm.
I want to see the Ahamkaras.
Yes. Oh man, perfect answer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that would tie in. Like out of the sky, they're like come in, and then you got a dragon that's.
That'd be awesome.
Oh god, what I want is enemy. More Dark Christmas Guardians.
Noobs.
Like Christmas noobs are always fantastic, but I won't see them in PvP. Thank you, skill based matchmaking. Yeah, I was like a Dark Guardians would be really cool. Like Guardians have been corrupted by the dark. That'd be awesome. By the darkness.
That would be very cool.
They've been corrupted by Dark Souls. And you get invaded and
they're just shade stepping around everywhere.
Will you guys do me a favor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me finish a couple of things and then I'm going to step away for a bit.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool, man.
So, Briar, I wanted to say thank you, such a wonderful soul who taught me how to love what I do. Thank you. And Tefty, honest and full of life that encouraged me to be a better person. So thank you.
Thank you, Pope.
Thank you, man.
Thanks for being you, man.
Patrick, I just believe that you're an honorable human being that I'm grateful to call my friend. I'll see you guys on the flip side. I'll come back in a little bit.
My name is Sim, at Simkowitz. Some legendary engrams were decrypting below my current level. Have you guys seen any instances like this? Yeah, you're not guaranteed to get a higher level engram for everything.
Yeah, legendary and blues, like unless it's an exotic, and even then, exotics will pretty much be at your light level. But legendaries and blues, they will not decrypt at your light level. They're pretty much they're like they were like at 280.
Didn't they say that there was a bug that it was supposed to go up to 315, like in drops at the end of screen? Like blues will go up to 315 at the end of game rewards.
Yeah, I've gotten up to 320 blues right now.
Oh, 320. Okay,
yeah, at the end of Prison of Elders challenge mode.
I saw a tweet
at the challenge mode. It is
okay. I've seen regular drops blues going up to 315 before. There might be a bug that I think they said this on Twitter. I could be wrong that there was a bug with those not decrypting at the light level they're supposed to. And I think it could go up to 315 for like regular engrams getting decrypted. Because there really is no reason for them to stay at that lower level. They would actually get bumped up as well.
Rabbit Hole fan at Boss NM8 Villa. Does the outbound signal mission give a hint on the next raid? Cabal, maybe. I mean, I think it strongly hints at the next one.
It sets it up.
If it's another Hive raid, I'm going to be really disappointed.
Swear to God. Swear to God, Bungie.
I have Mega Thralls. No, I don't want Mega Thralls.
They're givers this time. They're not taken. They're givers.
The given.
The given.
Bend over. We're given. Super fun people at super fun people. You have given tips for new streamers on getting started. How about podcasters? I thought this was an interesting question.
Man, I like for technical stuff, like don't just like use your Astro or your normal headset or whatever. Like for a podcast, you kind of have to be an audiophile. So use a good quality microphone, even maybe a Blue Yeti microphone that you can click on the link and buy.
Blue Yeti is a very easy place to start off. And I would say when I talk to streamers or new YouTubers, I would say don't worry about equipment. But for a podcaster, you have to sound good. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you've got no hope.
The Blue Yeti is kind of like the entry level for sound quality right there. And one of the reasons is because it comes with an audio interface and gets the actual microphone sound directly into the computer. In the software right away. You don't have to have an additional audio interface. You don't have to have an additional preamp or anything like that. It's all a contained solution right there. So your next step up beyond that to get better audio quality is to start upgrading each one of those individual components. So Blue Yeti does all that for you right away. And then Briar was laughing about the open room wood floor type of thing, but you also have furniture in your place. The furniture soaks up a lot of sound. So if you have like a bed, if you have carpet, if you have like, you know, you have a chair in your office, Briar, all that stuff affects the sound absorption. And the less reflections you have on the wall, the more present the sound is going to sound in the, or your, the more present your voice is going to sound in the microphone, because what makes bad sounding podcast sound is sounding like you're in a hallway. Yeah. You don't want to sound like you're in a hallway or bathroom. You want to be as present as possible in the microphone.
I've heard a tip that a really good place to record is in your car, because there's so many sound absorbing materials in your car.
I did that for two of the early Planet Destiny videos.
Also, be super selective about who your co-hosts are going to be. You don't want somebody who agrees with everything you say. You want to have, you know, a conversation about things. Sometimes you want to disagree. I find that, you know, with Pope Bear, I find some of my favorite podcasts we've ever done is when me and Pope Bear strongly disagreed about something. You know, that ends up being an entertaining podcast and a fun one to be on, as opposed to all of us just jerking around about Thorn and how much it sucks.
Right, and some of that also has to some of that also is knowing that your purpose is to inform and to entertain. So people that are smart enough to know that, you know, if all of us sat around and agreed on a topic, how interesting is that? So what you guys don't see in the pre-game lobby where we're setting up for the podcast is we're going through some of these main talking points, and we're then kind of taking a snapshot, not really talking about it, but who agrees with this. And if we all raise our hands and say, well, we all agree with this decision, one of us will sometimes take the counter argument just to flesh out the conversation a little bit, because there is that piece of this that is entertainment, right? And nobody wants to
conflict
see
conflict makes entertainment.
Yeah, nobody wants to see everybody just saying there, yeah, you know, you're right. Well, where's the conversation in that? You know, there is nobody I would want on this podcast more than you guys. Your analytical way of approaching stuff, Patrick, is second to none. I mean, the reviews you do of guns and the way that you can talk about things. Tefty, Briar, like you get like real world conversations about what you're, you know, experiencing are. You play the game. So, but it's definitely those are all like really important characteristics. So Gowdy and chat says real world conversations, .. boner spiders and coconut crabs.
Real world.
Don't be
the off color stuff. Does
that was
add.
Real world
don't
conversations.
Be afraid to have fun and to get off topic and be yourself.
News is news. Podcast is talk radio, and talk radio is, you know, there's lots of flavor in there. If you got to have the flavor along with the technical side. Yeah.
All right, Spork for a weapon at MQ9 Reaper. Obviously, matchmaking has changed. How can Bungie justify its skill-based matchmaking settings when there's no ranked or leaderboards? I feel like everybody should get a drink ready, because we're about to hear the magic word from Tefty.
Let's go, Tefty. Come on.
Netcode.
Yeah.
Netcode isn't really the factor here. It's more of them just matching us up with people that are in the like such a tiny bracket. Like there's no 50% bracket of like, hey, 50% of the population match up. No, it's like, let's crank it down, break up the matches, you get matched up again to the same people. It's like, obviously there's skill-based matchmaking going on.
We had Leaf on, right? And he explained it to us. He expects, you know, a certain amount of competition. He doesn't want you winning 90% of your games. He wants you winning 50 or 60%, right?
If you don't like going extremely negative, then you have to apply the meta. Mm-hmm. So, well, it's on one hand, we could be like, well, you just need to accept the fact that you're going to have a negative KD if you play with crap guns. And that is one way to look at it. But at the same time, I don't know. It's just, it doesn't feel as fun. It doesn't feel like an interesting gameplay.
Also, I would love to see ranked ranked, like a ranked leaderboard. I'd love to see it, man.
That'd be great. That'd be awesome. What do you bet there? What do you bet like a couple weeks from now, or like a month or something like that, and a bunch of weekly update? Turns out we did a little digging into the matchmaking. Found a bit of a bug. Those brackets that were supposed to open up. Yeah, there was an allowance of 1,000 milliseconds, and it was highly skill-based matchmaking. Strange.
It was
we didn't code it that way.
It was
way.
Supposed to be 100 milliseconds, but it's 1,000. The decimal.
It's as if a lever is in the command control, and somebody just went like that, like sleeping or something.
Right? I think the lever is attached to the front door at Bungie. Every time somebody walks in the door, it swings one way or another.
Like, we really need to move this. But, like, guys, we're focusing on Destiny 2. Can't move this button right now.
Not right now.
But my general thought about it, and I'm pretty sure I've said this on the podcast, is that, like, I'm theorizing that in Destiny 2, we'll have competitive matches, like an actual competitive list. And this is and whatever matchmaking that we're currently, you know, being guinea pigs, beta testing right now, that's the matchmaking that it will use. And then it'll go to like a 100% connection based for just normal casual. That's my theory on it.
Mr. Ares at Hey It's Magic. What do you think of the Tesla logo looking so close to a Vex Goblin in Destiny? Okay, so the Tesla logo.
Oh, the car.
If you don't know what it looks like.
Yeah, I know what it is.
It looks exactly like a Vex Hobgoblin's head.
It does. I retweeted
Half-Life 3 confirmed.
I retweeted that today, and I quoted it as saying, they're among us. And people in chat, you can check out my Twitter. I have them linked next to each other.
I have a buddy that pre-ordered, actually. And he was like, look what I pre-ordered. And I was like, huh.
Can't wait for 3 years till you get it, huh?
I know, right?
I'm waiting for that Apple car still. I'm convinced.
Yeah,
Apple's gonna make a
car.
Yeah, well, you'll
the
just
I ride.
Just step in. I ride. It'll step in and it'll take you wherever you're going.
Siri will tell me where I want to go. No, you don't want to go there.
Siri is always
much
screwing
more
up information.
Restaurant than that.
I'm always asking Siri questions, and she's like Googling it. I'm like, tell me my answer.
Bitch, I
want a
specific
answer. I
could have done
that. Yeah, I know. I'm like, I could have Googled this myself. What are you doing?
Vince White at Torn Melody. The point of Iron Banner was originally power matters. I can barely tell the difference. How about you?
I don't know. I feel like it's wider, personally. The light level difference and like the how fast, like, you know, if you get headshots all the time, then it doesn't really matter, period. But it seems like if I go in under light level, there's a certain survivability that still exists.
Well, that's because you're just playing smart, probably.
Well, you know, partially, but I don't know. The question was like, do you think the light level difference is really that apparent with Iron Banner? And I think for a large part, like a good, for me personally, I think 30 to 40 points. Like, if you go in there above 290, like, you're still going to be doing work.
Would you like there to be a difference between 335 and 333?
Like I wouldn't have.
A legit difference?
I wouldn't have before the April update, but now I think there's so many avenues to get a higher light that it I would say yes now. Now I wish.
It'd be kind of a cool thing to make a sacrifice based on light level. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe you're sacrificing faster reload speed on your primary weapon to get, you know, one or two extra light level.
I think it's in a good spot right now. I think it's in a good spot.
The point spread, you know, it doesn't really make that much of a difference as long as you're landing headshots. You know, on both ends, whether you're
as long
doing
as you're
headshots
shooting rockets,
or rockets kill regardless.
When in doubt, yeah. Fire a rocket.
If the initial blast doesn't get you, the Wolfpack rounds will come around. Fuck you up.
Yeah. Yeah, so like the 10 point spread, you know, it doesn't. I feel like the 10 point spread does nothing for light level, like 330 versus 320.
Yeah, it would be. It's nice to have these events, these kind of weekly events, have some sort of special meaning. And Power Matters was a key component of Iron Banner, and it, you know, it's kind of losing that.
Yeah, now it's just about like. Loot. Gavin Ellison at Ellison Gavin. We have live events every week or so, like Iron Banner 1 week, then SRL or Crimson Doubles. Oh, should we? Should we have live events every week or so?
What would be nice is if SRL became like an Iron Banner once a month type of thing, where it was like Iron Banner, off week, nothing, and then SRL for that week, and then nothing on the next week, and then Iron Banner. So it kept on rotating like that. That would be really interesting if they did that.
SRL, though, I would like to see that at least every other month. Like, why are they holding this stuff back that they developed? Like, Crimson Doubles, SRL, like, release that on a schedule, you know? Like, let us have that stuff. Maybe not every week, maybe not every month, but, like, you know, every other month, and then add the new live event to that schedule. So instead of just getting something for a month or for a week and losing it forever, like, have it rotating in and out, and then keep adding stuff to that rotation. So there's constantly stuff going on in Destiny instead of it just being we're waiting on the live team to release the next thing. I got a question for you guys. Do you guys think the bigger thing for Destiny's like growth and success up to this point is trials or raids?
Raids for sure. That's what sparked all of it. You know?
I don't think it'd be as successful as it is now without trials, though.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's definitely part of the equation.
Yeah. I think the biggest drawing portion, or the thing that drew people to Destiny, were the raids.
Yeah, trials definitely draws people in. It draws PvP players in.
Trials
is completely unique.
Yeah, trials definitely draws like things out of me too. Like, I don't think I've raged harder in my life than playing trials.
Oh, you should, Pope, just come play a MOBA, and you know rage that you have experienced in trials is nothing. To
I have,
like just an average game of MOBA.
I have a boneyard of controllers that are all broken.
Oh my god!
Because they have been thrown at the wall during trials. These are all broken because and they're all related to
those are your sacrifices.
Yeah, well, I mean, I
sacrifices
this one,
to Osiris.
This one actually, I got so angry that I twisted it like this, and it snapped down the center. So I can play it. I can use it still, but it's got like a flex point here. I went like this, and it went crack.
You hulked it.
I totally
hulked that baby.
I just went snap.
So this just ended. Pope That's is really stopping playing Destiny and giving away his account due to heart conditions done by rage.
You know, I definitely have gotten salty over trials, but Dark Souls has made me the saltiest ever on stream.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's taken me to a salt level where, you know, I just question, like, why am I playing this game? I should delete it off my hard drive, you know, all that stuff. And then I beat the boss, and suddenly I'm, like, elated.
Yeah. that's pretty good. Mr. VodkaMan666 at Rajveer6700. How would you feel if only the Ephrodite Spear archetype could res snipe? Wouldn't that give them more use in PvP?
We already went through this problem. We want more variety, not less.
Yeah.
I remember running into this absolute scrub who was using a Titan with...
Is there a controller?
With weapons of light.
Right off the side that was broke because of this?
He was using a Titan with weapons of light and a final round Ephrodite Spear. Like,
nice.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's overkill.
Yeah, he's actually one of my best friends now.
His name's Irk.
I rage so hard. I should post the chat, but we got so like I went on a Twitter rage with him and all this stuff, and
that's his beagle that you're babysitting right now.
Armando Marquez at Armando says, elemental infusion consumables lasts 30 minutes, adds burns, but doesn't limit weapon choices. Why isn't this a thing? The game is not set up for primary elementals right now. Like you would romp through Nightfalls right now if you had a elemental primary.
I think that's a fun idea, but I don't know about burns.
Yeah, you could buy like you get like four of them in every Sterling package. It's great.
Yeah.
Oh Jesus.
You could just buy them. And, you know, no big deal.
Just test offers.
I've still got 2.5 pages
left.
You
guys save them for next podcast. You get to talk to you, when you get to ask the your
new co-host.
Your new co-host. So,
all right, guys, thank you very much for tuning in. Rather emotional podcast this week. It's been Patrick Casey with Planet Destiny. If you want to find me, at Holtzman_PD on Twitter. I'm on the Twitch, just Holtzman. I'm on the YouTube at Planet Destiny. You know where to find me.
I'm Briar Rabbit. You can find me at The Briar Rabbit on Twitter, on the Briar Rabbit channel on YouTube, streaming on Twitch. Just look for Briar Rabbit, or I'll be streaming on the Planet Destiny channel.
I'm Tifty Teft. You can talk to me at Teft on Twitter. You can catch the streams I do for Planet Destiny, and also catch the streams I do for my personal channel, twitch.tv/TeftyTeft. And that's it.
And this has been Pope Bear. Can't thank you guys enough. It's really, like, special. So I'll be lurking in your streams every once in a while for sure.
I look forward to it, man. Look forward to seeing you.
Awesome, man.
Thank you to everybody in chat. Absolutely. You guys are awesome in our community. This is what I loved about it. So do me a favor, when our new co-host comes on next week, treat them with as much love. Well, don't say, I was going to say as much love and respect as you guys give me normally, but just treat them better than you would treat me.